Oh, Jesus Christ. That scared me. Jesus. I'm jumpy, man.
You got the yips.
I always have the yips. I'm just one of those. I'm one of those people that
used to be my favorite thing.
Oh, hey, I forgot about what we should tell them.
At 100.3 The Sound, where Josh and I used to work. Perhaps you've heard of it. Like we haven't talked about it.
I know.
Josh was the programming assistant, and one of his jobs was to go into the main studio and to check on how everything was going. And like when I would go to, I would be, you know, recording the Rock History Notebook, something like that, in the other studio where the phones were answered, the production
newsroom.
Josh would be in the main studio and he'd walk in there.
And there's a window.
There's a
giant window between the
but
two.
But I could see when he was in there and he was engrossed in writing down some numbers for commercials, like what time they aired and so forth, documentation we had to do. And he'd be in there and I would have the intercom. I knew the intercom was right, you know, 2 feet away from
him. And the speaker to the intercom was like right where, like a foot away from my face.
Pointing right at him.
Yeah.
And that's when I would press down the button and go,
I would jump. One time I hurt my neck. Like the muscle between the, like the back of your shoulder and your neck, I herky jerked so fat hard that it was like, oh.
I always felt bad. I'm like, what if I cause this guy to have a coronary one day? I'm going to feel like shit.
But I'm going to still laugh out of that. I'll laugh first, then I'll feel bad.
I'll laugh, then I'll die.
Are you going to do it?
What?
Do you want to rehearse?
No.
Maybe you should write the chords down.
I think I have it this time.
Okay.
When the people that you know don't like you, and your treasured friendships end, tune into this podcast. We're your artificial friends.
Remember when I texted you and asked you what key the song was in?
Yeah, why did you do that?
Because I found Owen's recorder. I'm gonna try to learn it. I didn't have enough time, but I'm gonna try to learn the song on a.
We should add instrumentation to it. I'm all about it.
Or we could just record a layer every time and just add it on. Yep. What do you think?
Okay.
That might be too much work. I'll just
it sounds like a
I'll
lot.
Just learn it, do it once, and then we'll throw the recorder away. I'll never have to do it again.
Welcome to the program. It's your artificial friends. I'm Andy Chanley. He's Josh Fligger.
Yep.
Larry Morgan, not with us.
Nope.
Recovering with his Epley maneuvers.
Ear crystals.
And Larry Sam Farmer is still on in the UK.
Assignment. Yeah.
Yeah. He's
a lucky guy.
Just covered Wimbledon. And he's going to, is he doing the golf thing next, or did he already do that?
I know he did one golf thing.
Here's a beer for you.
We're going to do beer today.
It's a beer episode. I got a, well.
Ooh, where did you get these? Are you going to tell the announcement?
You. This is a discovery, another Costco discovery.
Oh, yeah, all right.
And it could be awful, could be good. It's Made West, M-A-D-E-W-E-S-T, all one word.
Me like words.
And it's Made West Brewing Company, Ventura, California. This is a pale ale.
This smells really good.
Does it smell fruity? It does. It smells nice. And I found it. They come in 4-packs at
Costco.
At Costco.
Well, they sell anything in 4-packs at Costco.
Yeah.
You have to buy like 60 individual 4-packs.
It was a 4-pack.
And, wow.
And so, yeah, I was really surprised. Let's see what it says about it. It says 5.6% alcohol by volume, which I like. I like beers with lower alcohol.
Why?
Because you can only have one. If you get one that's, 13%, you can have one and then that's it. It ruins me. I don't like it.
We're not drinking this strictly because of the taste, right? Let's get that out of the way.
Well, that's true, but it doesn't have to be.
Because if we were, then we would just be drinking O'Doul's and all that crap.
Right, but it doesn't have to be 9% alcohol to enjoy the beer. I drink it for the taste of it.
Yes.
And
the alcoholic effects
brain. To some degree.
Yeah, I'm not. Yeah, you're going to
relaxant for effects of the depressing effects of the
the antidepressant.
But what it lacks in alcohol content, it makes up for in bitterness. 38 IBU, or International Bitterness Units.
Andy's going glass. I'm going straight from the can.
I like the names of the hops, and I hope I'm saying them right. I know it's Mosaic and Simcoe. Equinot? E-K-U-A-N-O-T? Equinot?
I don't know.
Equinot?
Equinot.
And it says this, the pale is a heavily hopped West Coast-style pale ale, bursting with a bright citrus and fruity hop complexity. It has just enough malt presence to allow the loads of hops to shine through.
Loads.
This crisp, hop-forward beer has a dry, refreshing finish.
Hop-forward beer.
Hop-forward, Josh.
Doesn't that sound like something somebody snooty would say about this? It's a very hop-forward ale.
It's hop-forward on the palate.
I'm drinking from the can.
Nice. He's got no culture.
Class.
No culture.
This is delicious.
See, you don't get to enjoy the head on the beer if you drink it from the can, is the problem.
How do you know? You can't see inside my can.
I need to get the bat.
There can be a delicious head inside that can. You don't know. Maybe I gave it a nice little shake.
You can't see inside my can. I need to get the bell. I need to order the bell. I need
Triangle.
To order the bell from
Amazon.
From,
you know, I tried getting one for
Amazon.
Us. Guess who I saw the last week?
Who?
Sammy.
Sammy Mastriani?
Yeah. Sammy.
Why did you do that?
We went to see the Pirates and the Dodgers play.
Wow.
And we went to the game where it was 17-1 in the sixth inning.
Was it in Pittsburgh or in Los Angeles?
It was in Los Angeles. The one run the Pirates scored, we were in line to get Dodger dogs.
Nice.
And then the Dodgers scored 17 runs.
Nice.
And we left, which leads me, I rode the subway for the first time.
Did you? From where to where?
Okay. I rode it from North Hollywood to Union Station and then took a shuttle to the Dodger Stadium from there.
It's nice, isn't it?
It was awesome. On the way back, I completely blew it. I completely blew it.
Why is that?
All right. So the red line goes from NoHo to the Union Station, right? So the first time you can order one? A bell?
I'm doing it right now.
Okay.
Nice. I'm pressing buy now. That's how.
Literally, he just showed me a picture
I'm
on his phone
swiping
of a bell.
It. There's a bell on the way. It's Amazon's choice.
Oh, it's Amazon Prime Week coming up soon.
It is. Oh,
should have waited.
God, I should have waited and got it
deal
tomorrow.
On the bell.
You know, I can get it for free tomorrow. Because I went to, Whole Foods is owned by Amazon now.
I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. And they've got an app. If you put the Whole Foods app on your phone,
right.
You go into Whole Foods, and this won't do anybody any good for Prime Day, which is Monday, as we're recording this. But they give you if you buy $10 worth of stuff, they give you a $10 charge that you can use on Prime Day on Amazon. Yeah.
$10
a whole thing. But then you get like an extra 10% off everything that has a tag in the store, a whole bunch of different stuff. Whole Foods, good God. Have you gone into an Erewhon lately?
A what?
Erewhon?
What is that?
Erewhon is another high-end grocery store. And I'll let you get back to your cockamamie.
No, go ahead.
Football story or soccer or whatever.
It wasn't about baseball. It wasn't about baseball. It was about the subway, but go ahead.
All right. We went into Erewhon. On the way
what
to...
What is Erewhon?
E-R-E-W-H-O-N, something like that. There's one on Beverly,
I think. Never even heard of this.
Erewhon. You've never heard of Erewhon?
No.
You've heard of Sprouts.
Yes, yes.
Okay.
Is it like
you've
that?
You've heard of Whole Foods.
Yes.
It's very much like those.
Okay. So it's a grocery store.
Except, I go in, we go into the, we're driving out to Ventura. Oh, God, I got to tell you about our camping trip.
Yeah.
It was amazing.
I meant to ask about that.
But we're driving out, right, out of town, and we thought, let's just stop off somewhere. Once we get up the 101 past Calabasas, we'll stop in somewhere, and we'll just get something to eat, right, that we can eat on the way.
Right.
And so we stop in and go to the deli portion of Erewhon. You thought Whole Foods was expensive?
Oh, really?
Jesus Christ.
But
they have $20 smoothies. I shit you not. I looked up at that. I'm like, that has to be a chalk smear. What is in a fucking $20 smoothie? There better be gold flakes and fucking saffron in that thing.
There better be like two shots of tequila in that thing.
It better be, yeah, all morel mushrooms and some shit. Good God, I couldn't believe it. I walked out of there. I got a breakfast quesadilla for me.
Right.
Lara got a breakfast sandwich, and the kids got two croissants. and we got a couple of bars, $51. But you got to be fucking kidding me.
Hey, which reminds me, you know what I've been looking for lately and I can't find? I think I'm probably going to go to a specialty place.
What?
Is I want to bring us in Limburger.
Oh, yeah, try you have
it. I can't find. I don't know. I probably have to go to a specialty cheese shop.
Here is the problem with Limburger.
Have you ever had it?
Yeah, as a child. As a child, okay. My dad bought it, a little glass jar of it, and he.
So it's creamy, right?
It's creamy. Okay. Yeah, it's a creamy cheese, and he put some on a cracker for my brother and I and whoever else wanted to try it. I remember it being a tasty cheese. I mean, in general, but here's the problem: it stinks like feces.
Or I thought it stinks like feet. Does it smell like feet or shit? Because. I think I could deal with feet. I don't think I deal with shit.
Gunch. Yeah, I don't know.
What's gunch? What the hell's gunch? Did you make that up?
No, I didn't.
What's gunch?
I first heard that from the original engineers. At the sound when I first got that. How to describe?
My mom calls underwear gunchies.
Well, she's in the right neighborhood.
Really? Is gunch like Famunda cheese?
Yes, but I think it's more of the feminine.
All right, stop.
Anyway,
wow. Oh, I'm crying.
Here's the problem. It smells horrible.
Gunch. Oh, I get it. It's combining two words or three. I'm not going to say anything about it.
It's best not.
Yes. Use your imagination. Gunch. What were we talking about?
Limburger. The problem is, okay, if you hold your nose,
then you don't taste it.
You have to.
But I like stinky cheeses, though. No, is this a whole new level?
This is your thing, then. Yes, we should try it.
If I can, if I find it, I'll.
Great.
Okay.
Oh God. We go into the new Whole Foods in Burbank. Yesterday.
They would have it?
Maybe.
All right.
We went in because here's what they did have. We go. There's a restaurant in there. There's a restaurant with like 22 taps or something.
In the Whole Foods?
In the Whole Foods.
Yeah.
It's at the bottom of a hotel or an apartment complex.
Where's that? Is this the one that's in North Hollywood?
No, it's in Burbank. It's right across the street from Warner Brothers Records and iHeart and all that stuff.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about.
It's down there. Yeah, like Riverside and
Alameda
there. Yeah, and Hollywood Way. Anyway, they've already opened the Whole Foods in there, and there's a restaurant in there. We ate at the restaurant yesterday.
How was it?
It was all right.
Yeah. How was it?
It was one of those serve yourself kind of things. It wasn't terribly expensive. I'd go back.
All right.
But anyway, the great thing about it is anything you want in the store, you can go buy and then take it out there and eat it.
Oh, yeah.
So you're serving yourself anyway. If you want to go get, you know, two slices of pizza for $6 and bring those out there and have a beer with it, you can totally
do that. When you go to Trader Joe's, if you want to try anything on there, you just tell them and they'll open one up right there in front of you. Have you ever done that?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, I've done it, but I don't know if I've done it at Trader Joe's.
I'd always be afraid if I didn't like it because then I look like the turd that's going, oh, let me try this. Like the old lady goes to the ice cream place and tries 50 samples and goes, okay, we're going to go now and doesn't get anything.
Right.
That's,
Virtually any produce section, if you can find anybody fucking working in it, any store, you go into Ralph's and flag somebody down and say, can I try these apples before I buy them? And they'll totally cut one for you.
So I can't just pick one up and pick a bite out of it and put it back up.
I think you should
eating grapes.
You should ask first.
These are terrible. I'm gonna try like six more.
Do you remember the Brock's Pick-a-Mix?
We've talked about that. I love those things.
Did you ever steal from the Brock's Pick-a-Mix?
No, I don't think.
You never tried?
I remember one time stealing an apricot. Remember because they'd have like the big bulk. Do you remember some of the grocery stores have like literally the big bulk barrel of like dried foods, and they have a shovel and you just go there? Yeah, I remember when I was a kid one time I was just like, I want one of those, and just grabbed it and popped it in my mouth. Right.
Well, Whole Foods has those, the bulk stuff. Anyway, getting back to what they have at Whole Foods, they've got big fucking nasty black cow tongues in the case.
You've never eaten cow tongue?
Not on purpose.
Oh, all right. It's not bad.
Yeah. But it's nasty to look at it with the
you
taste
can buy that
on
at
it.
Ralph's.
It's pretty gross.
You can see they sell that shit at Ralph's.
You eat
all
pickle,
the time.
Pickled pig's feet?
I would try it if I could find somebody. We're gonna get a pickled pig's feet and Limburger. Let's do it. We'll do it right. We'll do it at the end of the show too. So if we have to puke, we can just end the show.
Anyway, I'm sorry.
Would you eat pickled pig's feet?
I don't think so. Why? Because I don't need it in my life anymore.
But it could be something that's. It's not about you needing it. It's about you trying new
things. If it's good.
Well, somebody's gotta like it. It exists.
Pickled pork.
Yeah, that sounds awesome. It I love does? Everything pickled.
All right. Well, if you'll try it, I'll try it.
All right. How do you eat them, though? They're nasty.
That just sounds disgusting.
Yeah, and you wonder if there's like poop lodged in there because they're walking around. They're
bring home a hoof.
Hoof. not just a regular hoof, a pickled hoof.
A pickled cloven hoof.
Ew, that's been walking around in pig poop.
Anyway, I totally derailed you. I want to get back to what you were saying.
Derailed. Look what you did.
Oh, God. Let's get back to your train of thought. Where are you? See what I did again?
You're on fire.
Yeah.
It's the beer. The beer's talking.
So you got the. You took the subway.
All right, so I took the subway down. Hold on. Let me take a drink.
Ow.
Whoops.
Sorry about that. Apologize.
So I took the subway down, and it's the red line. It goes from straight from
North Hollywood
all the way down to Union Station.
Right.
And I was like, this is great. It took me 15 minutes. It cost me like $1.70. I parked my car in North Hollywood for $3. I'm like, I got to Dodger Stadium for $5, and I could just sit and look at my phone or read a book the whole time. Didn't have to deal with traffic. And it was great. We got a shuttle, went to the game, watched the game, came back. And as I'm leaving, I'm like, okay, I'll just go back. I just go back to the way that I came from. And I go down, and by that time, it was like 9 o'clock, 9:30-ish. The trains stop running so frequent, so they're only running like every 20 minutes.
Yeah.
So I get down there, and I'm waiting. I wait like 15 minutes. Train comes, get on it. I'm looking, and there's just like me and another guy where I ride, and all of a sudden I'm looking up, and I look, and I'm about 2 stops away.
No.
And all of a sudden it just stops, and I see the driver get off, and then the other passenger get off, and I'm like, we're nowhere near North Hollywood. Yeah, there's a purple line.
Oh, you went to on. You it's, went to the Wiltern Theater?
Yeah, somewhere. Well, I didn't know that there was. I thought it was just the red line there, so right. I just got on the first train. So I have to wait. I'm sitting in the train by myself for 20 minutes.
Yeah,
and I'm sitting there. I'm like, ugh. So I go back, and I get back off on Union Station, and as I'm getting off, I'm thinking, I'm like, well, where the hell's the red line? I don't know. And then the talking voice comes out and is like, if you're looking for the red line, proceed down the stairs and you can board from there or something like that. I'm like, okay. I look over, down the stairs, above the stairs, red line. Perfect. Easy cheesy. Walk down the stairs. Me and about 20 other dudes are all sitting around. I'm the only one wearing a Pirates jersey. And we're just sitting there and it's hot, humid, sticky down there. And sure enough, here comes a train. Get on the train. Ride it for about 20 minutes, and guess what I did? I got back on the purple line.
What?
They said it was the red line, and I didn't.
It says it on the train.
But they said there was nothing down there. It said purple line, but there's signs that say red line everywhere. So I rode the friggin' purple line again to the end. Then I had to wait 20 minutes, and then I didn't get home till like midnight. I left Dodger Stadium at like 9 o'clock.
Wow.
That's awesome. So you read the signs, people. Don't be me. Don't be a Josh.
Don't be
read
Josh.
The signs.
That's the.
But I
good advice.
I did. I eventually figured out, and I got like the North Hollywood station, the parking lot. They like tow you at midnight, I think, or something. And I literally rolled into North Hollywood station at like 11:55 and just ran to my car.
Wow.
So I made it. Good times.
Yeah. Good stuff.
Learn something new every day.
You can often find parking on the street around there too, so it's completely free.
What?
And you?
Oh, you mean North Hollywood?
Yeah, there's free parking on the south side.
Oh yeah,
for transit patrons.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. You know what though? But when I got there, it was like 5 o'clock.
And, right.
You know what I mean? So parking's kind of a bitch to find around that time. So it was $3, whatever.
Yep.
But I would totally do it again. I got my tap card. Keeping it.
Nice. You know what you can do with your tap card, by the way?
What?
You can register it.
For what?
On the website.
Yeah.
Tap to go or whatever it is. And then you can load it back up.
I didn't know that.
From your computer. And that way, you never have to stop at the kiosk.
Now,
and
can I? Is that good for riding buses? I've never ridden a bus either.
Yeah. Yeah, it's good for all that.
Really?
Yeah. So you just put $20 on the thing, and anytime you think you're getting low, load it back up, and you can check it online and see what your total is and so forth.
From now on, when I go to baseball games, that's the way I'm doing it. And I'm actually, I told Cindy I had such a good experience riding. I'm like, let's take Owen downtown. Let's just go like on a weekend day. Just go down, hop on, do whatever we want, walk around, to go down to the Pershing Square and see all the homeless people.
Bumpy.
Bumpy in 40s.
Stop it.
Okay.
Yeah, but well,
I'm down with public transportation. I don't know about the, I'm not going to grade the bus system yet because I've still never been on one.
Don't make Owen ride the Purple Line.
They were scared for me too because it was late, and Sammy's like, the red line's pretty shady after like 10 o'clock. it was a little scary. Fortunately, I just kept my eyes looking at the floor.
It's not that bad.
Yeah, it wasn't the most comfortable.
I have never been knifed on the red line.
Yeah. Well, how late have you been there? What about Purple Line?
Midnight. I'm after midnight.
I thought they stopped running at midnight.
They started. They don't run after midnight anymore. Well, they may on the weekend. One or something.
No, but I'm totally down with the subway system here.
Nice.
I wish
I ride it all the time. We'll ride it down to Pershing Square when we go.
I would if it was a little closer, because there's another line that goes out like past Granada Hills, right? Isn't there one of those, like an orange line or something? I don't know.
Well, that's a bus.
Is it?
That's you catch that across the street in North Hollywood.
Oh, okay.
And that's the variegated bus.
I see.
You get on and it takes the busway.
Oh, all the way.
All the way west. All the way out to Chatsworth.
Well, that's what I was going to say because I saw on the map there was a line there and I was like, if I didn't.
Wait, does that go by your house in Panorama City?
No, but I would drive. I would drive somewhere, park there, and take that to go somewhere. But it's still far enough away from my job that I can't walk.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like the last stop is.
That's an express, though. That busway, you get on that thing and it just goes. That's the only way it goes.
Yeah, I looked at the stops and it was like the last one. I thought about it, but it's like a good, like I think, like a mile or something from my thing. I'm like, forget it. I don't want to do that.
Anyway, it's fun. This protracted conversation. Yeah. You know what? It's great though. That you're doing this. Great that you're using mass transit because not enough people do. People look down at it.
The real topic that we need to discuss is your ailments.
Yeah, we can do that.
How are you doing?
Well,
how you feeling right now? Just right now, how you feeling?
Just right now, how do I feel? I feel fine.
Good.
Feel pretty good.
All right.
I got, since the last time I talked to you, I got my cardiac MRI done.
Okay.
And the cardiac MRI, first of all, they, I, you know, talked to them on the phone because I've had no fun having MRIs in the past. Mm-hmm. And I was going to get this one done. I'm thinking, this is my heart. I've done my hip, I've done my foot, but now I'm doing my heart. I'm going to be totally in this tube.
Right.
And it's going to be tight quarters. This time it would be nice.
Are you claustrophobic at all?
Not in general, but when you're surrounded in a tube,
so like you can say you're not, but then all of a sudden when you're like in there and you're like, I can't move
and you've got
anywhere.
This loud machine going, nick, 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 nick. You know, it's really, really unnerving. Have you been?
I've never done one.
It is the loudest it can possibly be.
Really?
Yes. And each sound is more terrifying than the last. You know,
why is it so loud?
I have no idea. I guess they align different magnets and it's relays opening and closing or something. But it's terribly disruptive.
Did you take headphones or anything?
Well, that's the thing. They put headphones on you, you know, to muffle it out, like, you know, the ones you'll see on a, you know, somebody on a tarmac. Noise.
Like shooting headphones.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Earmuffs. And but I asked them, because I know this is going to be a long thing. I know it's going to take an hour, and I know it's going to be really confining. I said on the phone when we were setting it up, I said, so can I have music for this one? Because nobody's ever given me music for these things. She goes, oh, yeah, you can bring in whatever you want. They'll play something right off your iPhone. I'm like, oh, well, great. So I take my iPhone in there.
Wait a second. They're going to let wouldn't you be scared of the magnets wiping your iPhone?
No, it would be in the booth with them, and they just, you know,
take it off your phone. Oh, okay. So they're playing. Okay, I see what you're saying. I thought you were actually going to be playing it from, like, putting it on your chest.
I think that would be a bad idea.
Yeah, just wipe your iPhone.
Horrible idea.
Go ahead.
So I go in there, and I say, so I can hear music? And the woman says, depends what kind of phone you have. And I said, just an iPhone. Oh, but do you have the jack, the dongle mini plug, or do you have the new thing? And I'm like, I've got the lightning cable. And she's like, 90%
of the world.
If you don't have an adapter, we can't do it. I'm like, why didn't somebody fucking tell me that before?
Right.
I was
who
gonna...
uses that cord right. anymore? I mean, that's like six generations ago.
It's ridiculous. So I get no music. But what I get her in there doing is, and she was nice, but she's in there and she's giving me instructions. She's telling me what to do in there. And for them to get a good picture of the heart, well, think about it. You go in there to get your hip done, uh-huh. or you go in there to get your ankle done, your foot, they can strap that down. But,
oh, so
but
they're
your
telling
heart,
you to move your to get that picture in place.
Your heart's a moving target, right? It's beating all the time. So what they have you do, it not only is your heart beating, but you're breathing in and out,
right.
and you're moving it around. So they you have to hold your breath for 9-second intervals and 18-second intervals.
Oh, that would suck.
Repeat, like plus, 70
and
times.
Plus you're in the confined thing.
Right. Ugh. And you have to try to hold it at the same volume of air each time. So I'm like...
And is she counting? She's going, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 Exhale.
Yeah, it was brutal. And I had to do that like 70 times. We get all that done, and they say, we'll have the results in a couple. Well, I did it on the 5th, so a couple of days necessarily means the next week. And I find out, I call them on Tuesday, and they got back to me and said, you're normal. Your heart's perfectly normal. We saw that you have your one ventricle is... it was a little enlarged, we saw on the echocardiogram when you did the stress test, and that's confirmed, but everything looks normal. There's no scarring. There's nothing that we can see that's wrong with it.
Okay,
well, what next?
Right.
And she said,
it's good, but still, now we don't know what the problem
right.
is.
It wasn't the electrophysiologist. It was the nurse practitioner, and she said, that's a good question. I don't know. Let me ask the doctor. I'll let you know. And they said, go back. I'm supposed to see my cardiologist this week. Go back and see her and see what she has to say. And then, in the meantime, my other doctor calls me back, interventionist, the plumber. And he's the guy that did the angiogram. And
fixed your toilet.
When I went and I talked to him about the angiogram results and everything, he said... I said, have we tested my magnesium and my potassium levels to see if I'm deficient or my thyroid levels? Have we done, tests for that?
That's fine.
He's like, no, let's do that. And so he schedules that stuff, and it took 2 weeks for me to get the results back because nobody ever wants
tests?
To answer my call. Yeah, just they draw blood and they check.
I hate blood tests.
I don't mind them at all.
Ugh.
But they test that stuff. Everything is normal. I have my kidney function, everything is completely fucking normal. My arteries are normal. My heart tissue is normal. They still want to do a PET scan on it, which is, the nuclear MRI kind of thing.
They give you a shot and then watch the blood go through or something like that?
They'll do it with some contrast, some whatever. But I guess that'll give them a clearer picture of things. But then they may want to do an electrophysiology test, a study on me to see what's happening in my heart and where things are firing and all that. See if there's something that they can ablate.
That's crazy.
Where they can go in there and shock and kill and fix it. So I don't know what the answer is. I know this. I know I started going back to the gym because I asked the plumber. I said, can I work out? Can I start getting active again? And because they had said don't. They said nothing exertive. And he's like, yeah, but you're on beta blockers. That's not going to be comfortable for you to get very active. And I wouldn't get your heart rate above 120. So I go in to work out a couple of times this week. And I get on the elliptical, and I'm working out, and the heart rate meters on there are shit. They're not accurate, right?
I would have no idea. I've never been on one. I don't know if you can tell by my physique and the way I look, but I've never been near one of those places. I don't even know what they smell like. Tell me more about this gym. Is that what you call it?
Gymnasium?
Gymnasium?
So I'm on, and these, they are not precision devices, these blood or these heart rate monitors.
Right.
So they're like, it says 90, 95, 98, and then it goes to zero, and then it goes to 156. I'm like, what's going on? And I worried, like, oh my God, am I having a, you know, a VTAC episode?
Right.
But I'm like, I don't feel it. I don't feel anything like that. And I took my hands off and dried them off and finally got it. And it said, you know, 120. Or
I'm like, you're good.
Okay. I think this thing's just fucked. But who knows?
You know,
I don't
what
know.
You know what you could do? You know what it sounds like me the doctor gave the clearance for?
What?
Shed work.
Here's what I realize. Here's what I realize about
ditch
the shed
all
work.
That, ditch all that exercise malarkey.
Here's what I'm realizing.
Get your ass working on
you're,
the shed.
You're right. You are right. When you're right, you're right, and you're right.
Okay.
But here's what I'm realizing about the shed.
Well, go ahead. What?
I'm going to need help.
All right.
I'm going to need another set of hands working on it because it's a fairly sizable thing.
Right.
And, like, you know, just I'll be putting together, like, a wall here under the carport.
Right.
But then
you can't just throw it. Like, you need people
I
to
need
hold
help.
That crap up.
Yep. I need help, you know, carrying it out there and putting it in place.
You know what you
somewhere.
Need to do? Here's what you need to do.
Go to Home Depot.
I was going to say, I know a group of guys sitting out at Home Depot.
Hold up two fingers.
Exactly. No, build that crap. And then one, like, someday after a podcast, it's already assembled out here. We'll just go throw it all up. Like, build what you need to do that only takes one person. And then when we do a podcast, we can help put it up. We can have we'll have Larry take pictures of us doing it because we don't want he you know he doesn't like doing the physical construction labor.
He has vertigo.
Did I tell you? I worked at a construction site one time?
What?
When
no.
Yeah, I worked at a construction site for 3 hours. And then I went and slept in the car.
What?
I got a job when I was like 16, 17, but it was in Ohio, and it was with my friend, and he's like, we need somebody.
Wait, you drove from Pittsburgh to Ohio?
Yeah.
Was it like Portsmouth?
No, it was right across the border because we were like 18.
Uh-huh.
And he's like, he's my best friend. And he's like, I got this job working in building a house with these two guys.
Mm-hmm.
And we need one more person. Do you want to do it? And I was like, hell yeah, I'll do it. It's summertime, you know, and it was like, I'm working with my best friend. We're outside. I was like, yeah, I'll do it. But the thing is, we got to get there. We got to be there like 8 a.m. You know, you start at like 8 a.m.
Sure.
Probably even like 7 a.m. And it's in Ohio. So we like left at like 4:30 in the morning. Got there. And it's just these two just delinquents, these two guys. And we're putting these. I told my brother, he's like, there's no way a house, if you worked on it, there's no way a house is still standing. I was hanging joist hangers, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I was just bending nails left and right. Like, these are the things that hold the second floor
right.
up. They have me on a ladder, and I'm hammering in, and they're like, I'm getting them like 2 inches in, and they're bending. I'm like, that's good. Just leave it in there. So then, and then I have to start, I'm in shorts and tennis shoes. And then I start having to haul these boards, these 2x6s, like six at a time. And, you know, those construction sites, those boards are like 20 feet long.
Sure.
And he's got this ramp built from the ground over the foundation, and there's like a 12-foot hole that's between the ground and the foundation, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's uphill, and it starts raining, and the whole place is covered in mud, and they still want me to haul these things up. So I'm like, I would get halfway up, the board would start bending, and I would just slide right back down because my feet were all covered in mud over top of a hole. And I'm like, dude, I'm not doing this anymore. And he's like, yeah, I'll help you. And he goes and he gets like a couple pieces of wood and just nails like a couple steps onto the thing. And I'm like, that's not going to help. So he's like, all right, well, let's take lunch. And I just was like, screw you. I went in the car, ate my lunch, and went to sleep. And I'm like, I'm not coming back to work. And I found out like the next week that one of the guys had ended up going to jail. And the whole construction site just got shut down. And then my friend, he took all the money he made because we get paid every day.
Uh-huh.
They didn't even pay me. I'm like, I don't want your money. I just want to get out of here. And my friend, he took all the money he made that day and bought fireworks in Ohio before. That's a delinquent we were. Fireworks. Jesus.
Wow. You've never told.
Yeah.
Is that your worst employment story?
That might be the worst, yes. yeah, that's the, well, other than when I worked at, I'm not going to say the company, well, I worked at Nielsen, and I shouldn't have said it, but I worked with a girl that smelled really bad, and we shared a cubicle, and she smelled like cat urine. I swear to God, I had to get one of those air freshener.
Let me swallow. It almost came out my nose.
So I shared a cubicle, and oh, this girl was the worst. And she was like 4'2", and she had her teeth. It looked like her teeth were like fuzzy. They were so dirty. It looked like she brushed her teeth with Mountain Dew. So much plaque on them, and she stunk like cat pee. And she would wear the same, she had two sweaters, and she would wear the same two sweaters all the time. And when it got really bad, I went and bought one of those like Febreze things that you open up, you know what I mean? Like the ones you
renews
see,
it?
Yeah, like one of the ones you see in a gas station bathroom, one of those. Well, I had it in my file cabinet to the left, and I opened it up, and when she stunk real bad, I would just open up my file cabinet and lean towards there and work on that side of my desk so I didn't have to smell her. Wow. And then she would just cover her desk in garbage, and she wouldn't even. And she would, she just eat like six meals a day. She's just the worst. That was the worst person I ever worked with. One of the top three worst persons I ever worked with. Yep.
Sammy.
No, not Sammy. Sammy's awesome. Sammy's great.
We could Sammy.
But yeah, what's one of the worst persons that you ever worked with?
Present company excluded. let me think.
Or worst, like, situations or something.
Well,
like that.
I've talked before about the worst situation I was ever in. It was, there were a couple. One, during my summers in college, I worked 80 hours a week.
Oh, right.
40 hours during the day in the maintenance department of JCPenney, 40 hours at night cleaning grocery store floors. And it was grueling. Okay. I was half dead.
So who's the worst person you ever worked with? And you don't have to say their name. Just describe them in detail.
Voldemort? I don't know.
No, there's nobody that just stands out. You're like, oh, that person is the terrible.
Yes, there are.
Just describe them. You don't have to say their name.
I won't.
Why? That's the best part. I don't even hear how bad. I mean, like
certifiable,
like crazy.
Really? That's the
yeah.
Name. But the other work situation that was awful is when I was working when I came out here, first moved out here, and I was working for a temporary agency, and they placed me at CapCure, Michael Milken's, you know, prostate cancer research place, and my job was to update their database.
Oh, you told me this.
Calling people is like, hi, is Mr. Thompson there? This is Andy from CapCure in Santa Monica, California. Just updating our information here to make sure we have everything up to date. Yeah. He passed away. Ma'am, I'm so sorry for your loss.
Okay.
I understand, ma'am. Yeah, absolutely. I'll update our information. And I'm very sorry for your loss. Thank you for your time. It was 8 hours a day of that.
I had my first job out here was at Nielsen, and I was doing phone surveys for movies, right? And these surveys, I shit you not, were like 35 minutes long, okay? And if you didn't finish them, you
didn't count.
Yeah, if you went through all those questions and they didn't answer the last one, that survey went right in the garbage and you got no credit for it. And you would just be dialing like people nonstop for 8 hours, right? And because I'm an idiot, I can't do something that's just monotonous. I have to start doing my own thing. Because, like, I would start doing them in the movie phone voice. And I'm like, hi, my name is Joshua Flinger. I'm calling from Los Angeles. Well, when you start that thinking that there's no way this person's going to do the survey, and then they do it, so you have to do the movie phone
all
voice
right,
for
35 time.
Minutes. And my boss is like, I don't care if you do that. Just, you got to do it the whole time, though. You know? And then my boss is standing right behind me, and I'm movie phone guy doing a survey for 35 minutes. I remember just being like, "This, I got to get a new job."
But the good news is that you graduated from that that low-level, entry-level job to, they said, you're really good at this. We think you're good enough to work with a woman who smells like cat pee.
I was there before her. Or no, maybe I wasn't. No, I think we were at the same time. Oh, yeah, she was the worst. I just get blah. I can still smell it. My eyes are watering thinking about it.
We went camping.
How was it?
It was great.
I didn't think you were a camping type guy.
Well, I am at heart.
You're into it if there's enough luxuries to keep it a little bit more.
Not even that.
Really?
No. We were never a camping family when I grew up.
Yeah.
We had, there's 7 kids. It's trying to get enough equipment together to take care of 7 kids and go. So when we would go on vacations, it was pile everybody in the station wagon.
Right.
And,
go to Niagara Falls.
Get some bologna and some beer in a cooler and, pass them back.
Exactly.
And the beers went to the front seat and the bologna went to the back.
That's so crazy. There was a time in our lives that it was just like, no, it didn't even have seat belts.
No.
All the windows are down. Everybody's smoking inside the car, drinking while they drive. You got 10 kids bouncing off the walls.
Oh, yeah. I sat without a seat belt in the center of the front seat on the transmission hump, right there. If we struck anything, I'm a projectile. I'm a bazooka.
My dad used to smoke because air conditioning was expensive. Remember,
sure.
Not all cars had air conditioning. So if you had air conditioning on, you had to have the windows up. And he would have the windows up and he would just be puffing Pall Malls. I would be in the back seat and like, you're afraid to crack the window because you don't want to insult the old man. Like, you know what I mean? And I'm just like, literally, it's like a. Like the movie you see at school, you have to stop, drop, and roll, and crawl on the ground if you see smoke. I'm just like at the bottom floor of the car, just trying to avoid smoke. Ugh.
Right. Oh yeah, it's horrible.
Crazy. But anyway, go ahead. You went camping.
So we never went camping as children. so we, I'm open to it, and I've been camping a couple of times in my life. A few, but it wasn't something that was a big part of my life. Well, now I have kids.
Right.
And last year. Last summer, Silas was 6 and a half, and some friends said, hey, for Father's Day, we're all going to go, a bunch of dads and our kids, we're going to go out and go camping, and do you want to come? And I said, yeah, we do, and Silas was interested in going, and I thought, let's go for one night, see how it goes.
Right.
And so we go out, and I'm woefully unprepared for, food to make for him, because he's vegetarian, and... I bought a tent, so we have this tent, but there's no padding in it, and it's horribly hard and uncomfortable, and all these things, number of things where I'm like, Jesus, I've got to plan better.
Yeah, that's the thing about camping is you gotta. It's nothing you just decide to do. You got to have the stuff. You know what I mean?
You've got to have it all.
Right.
And because you're out there on your own. And luckily, there were other, all the other fathers were much better at it than I was and had, things that we needed and so forth.
Real quick, there's a, for you people who are listening, there's a service where you can contact a company and they will come drop off camping equipment at your place and you rent it from them, take it camping, bring it back, and they'll come pick it up. So you don't, if you want to do like a weekend camping trip, and
you don't
have that crap,
and
they have like different packages. If you want like there's a deluxe thing, they'll bring everything you need. It might cost you a couple $100, but that way you don't have to worry about. You probably have to buy like an insurance or something like that. But I always thought that was a great idea for, especially people in LA, because not everybody has all that camping crap. But where we're from, we're the people like in Indianapolis. Were you from Indianapolis?
Yeah.
Is there a lot of camping people?
Lots of camping.
Yeah, so like everybody has it back where I was from. Everybody always had that stuff, but out here, it seems kind of a specific
city
thing.
Folk.
Yeah. Anyway, go ahead. Sorry.
So we decided to go for one day last year, and Silas didn't want to come home. He loved it.
Really?
He thought it was great.
Now, did you go?
We went. I've been trying to think of the place, and every time I try, I don't have my phone or something to look it up and remember what it was. But it was up in the Angeles National Forest.
Okay, so it was in the woods. It wasn't
It was in the forest. Yeah.
Okay.
So we go out, and he loves it and doesn't want to leave and thinks it's amazing. I'm like, well, next time we'll go for a little longer maybe. Well, this time, this year, it's determined that Lara decides that she and Viv will also go. Vivian, who's 3 and a half. And so
bigger,
I'm like...
Got to get a bigger tent.
Okay. Well, no, I had foresight to get a tent that slept 4 to 5 people.
All right.
So it's like a 10 by 10 tent. Timbitintin. And so it's plenty big. But so I have that. I have, you know, a cooler. I have a couple of things. But she ups the ante by deciding that we're going to go to the Channel Islands to do this.
Okay.
You familiar with the Channel Islands?
That's past Oxnard, right?
Yeah. Well, there are six of them, and Catalina is one of them. So there's Catalina, which, you know, further south. But then, yes, there's Santa Cruz, Santa Rosa, St. Nicholas.
I wasn't aware that those were called the Channel Islands. I just know that if you go out like towards Oxnard,
yeah,
isn't there like a college called
UC Channel Islands?
Is that what it is?
Sure, yeah. Okay. And yeah, so the Channel Islands are off the coast there. That's what you see when you look, you know, to the south there. And so we decide that she wants to go out there. And it costs for two adults and two children on the ferry. It costs $270 round trip just to get our shit out there. And they have,
how far was it, like a mile and
like
a half?
An hour trip each way.
Just for the ferry.
Just for the ferry.
Did you take your car on the ferry?
No.
So you just rode a boat with some camping equipment.
Yes.
And it cost $270.
Yes. Didn't know that that's how much it would cost.
I'd be like, all right, kids, guess we're not going camping.
Well, that's the thing.
Let's go to the mall.
We had already reserved the campsite and all that, and already told them we were going, already paid for all, you know, the equipment that we needed. At that point, it's like, God damn it. You got to.
Right. Or you could just go buy a boat. $270 bucks and be like, solve this problem. Screw you. Anybody, hey, you could be like, hey, you want to ride? $20.
The only thing about that is that we get out and we actually start making the trip over there. And I'd been to Catalina like five times, you know, taking
the
ferry out there.
Nope.
Easy peasy. And so we're getting ready to go out and we leave the breakwaters and get out on the open ocean. And there is a swell from Hurricane Ferdinand.
Yeah.
You remember it was the days, around the, just after the 4th, weekend after the 4th.
Okay.
And it was 10-foot swells. This boat is going up 10 feet and then down 20 feet.
How big is the boat?
The boat is...
It's a ferry, right?
Yeah.
So is it just a ferry for people, or is there a car? Is it one of those ones that you can drive on?
No, you can't drive on to. Okay. I'm going to guess it's 60 feet, something like that.
So it's not that big.
Not that big. The steel boat, right?
Yeah.
But we are taking these huge swells and troughs, and I look over at Silas, and Silas is like, this isn't fun, man. It's so great. He deadpans.
They do the finger over the mouth.
Imagine a 7.5-year-old turning is like, this isn't fun, man. And he just had like great timing with it and so deadpan that I just started laughing. And he's like, no, I'm not. It's not. Don't laugh. And he's pissed at me. Viv then is crying. She's crying her eyes out. Yeah. I look back at Laura and her eyes are big as saucers. Yeah. Like, I didn't expect this. I'm like, I didn't either. But you got to play it cool, right?
We're going to Davy Jones' locker, people.
And I said, well, I knew we were going to be fine. I'm like, look, this boat has seen worse than this. This is this steel-hulled boat is not going to crack up on this. Right. We're all fine. We'll get there. It's going to be a little rough, though. So just hold on. You know, hold on to something. And he's not having it.
They weren't getting queasy or anything, were they? Or a little bit?
A little bit. I said, keep your eye on the horizon. Keep your eye on the horizon. You'll be fine. Well, Viv falls asleep. And so... half hour passes, and we're still rocking on this thing. Well, they start to slow down. The captain slows it down and turns the boat. He says, ladies and gentlemen, we have some bottlenose dolphins off the port side of the bow. If you'd like to come out and have a look at those. So they have these dolphins. There's a school of dolphins that are out there, and they're beautiful. They're jumping around, and it's amazing. So Laura, it's like, oh, I got to wake up Viv. She wakes up Viv, and we all go out there. Viv is out there, you know, looking around at these dolphins and half tired, half interested,
right, like half awake.
And then And half sick because she then pukes all over
the dolphins.
The walkway of this boat. All over
the... I thought you were going to say the dolphins. No. Like poor dolphins. Just
she pukes her guts all over the place.
Hey, well, hey, at least it was outside, right?
It was outside. Get the hose they had out. To come out there and they hosed the thing. That, they were giving us dirty looks for the rest of the time. But and she has vomit all over her shirt. Lara has vomit all over her hands.
And the camping trip's not shirt. Even started yet.
I mean, yeah.
No showers
and
for like.
You've got to go another 20 minutes before you get there, and then you still, you know, have all this on. It was pretty gross. But then we
God, that's the worst way to start a camp. And it's not like you go to a hotel where you can be like, all right, let's get to the room, take a shower, regroup, and then we'll have a good time. It's like, now we get to go sit in some dirt and set up a tent, a hot, sweaty tent,
yep,
and build a campfire. And we're not going to be washing our hands too much. And you're going to have to go pee in the weeds and wipe your butt and throw that in the dirt, too.
Yeah.
Camping's so dirty.
It was pretty fun. But anyway, some things that once we got there, it was wonderful.
Yeah.
It was really wonderful.
How was the campsite? Was it like a...
it was great.
Was it like a... Were you in the woods? Like what
we
was
We were,
it?
But it was, you know, it was just an open, flat, you know, area. But
close to a beach?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So you got like, you could go hang out and swim in the water?
I went out and snorkeled in the kelp beds.
By yourself?
By myself. It was actually pretty terrifying. Because the kelp beds are like it was murky and scary.
You don't know what critters are back.
You don't know what's in there, man.
There's nothing worse than being in the ocean. Something touches your foot. You're like,
well, imagine being a heart patient.
What? You put yourself in this position.
Did,
what did you think
did,
was going to happen?
But I don't want my kids to grow up and be afraid of the ocean. So I get down there. I'm like, all right. Well,
no, there's
Lara's looking out there, and she doesn't want to get out of that shit.
No, there's a difference between being afraid of the ocean and swimming in the kelp bed.
But
you can get like ass deep in the ocean and swim around and be, hey, it's a good time. You know, I don't need to go scuba diving. The ocean's the worst place in the earth. It's the scariest, most worst place ever on the earth. There's the things in the ocean are freaky, man.
Yeah, they are.
They freak me out. I've had, do you remember the girl Kat that we used to work with? She's really crunchy and she's a certified scuba diver and everything.
Ka-chung.
And she just loves the ocean.
Yeah.
And she was always swimming. I'm like, the ocean, our great debate was which was scary, the ocean or like a lake. And I'm like, the ocean's way scarier than a lake. Because the critters in there, man. I mean, we've never even seen what's on the bottom of that. They're like light up.
Well, a lake is murkier, I think.
Yeah, but it's only so deep. It's like, what's the scariest? What is the most terrifying thing in a lake? What? It's got to be like a snake, right? Or is barracuda freshwater?
No.
So what's the most terrifying thing? Alligators.
Snakes and...
Alligators, probably got to be it.
Crocodiles. Yeah, probably an alligator, yeah.
Yeah. Now, what's the most terrifying thing in the ocean? There's about 60 species of sharks. There's whale sharks. There's all those stingrays and stuff.
Sea snakes.
Or
fish.
Yeah, or about just jellyfish. Ugh. What are those things?
And then scorpion
the
fish.
Only way that you can... Well, yeah, the ocean's nasty, man. Fill it with cement. Get rid of it. I'm out.
Well, we are. So slowly.
Keep like a square mile just so we have like a museum and then just get rid of everything.
Well,
like a parking lot.
I want them to not be afraid of the ocean,
right?
Because the ocean is also amazing, Josh. To go snorkeling in
sounds
coral
like you had a good time looking around all that.
You
kelp.
Shut up.
It was amazing. I was scared shitless by a bunch of seaweed.
It wasn't the best snorkeling I've ever done. But imagine me. I don't want my kids to be afraid of it.
It's all slimy.
So we go out to the pier, and I'm going to climb down the pier where the boat lands.
Why?
And because that's where they said the best snorkeling was. And I climb down with flippers, right, on stairs. You ever try doing stairs on flippers? It's a bitch. Anyway, I climb down. I got my snorkel on and everything, and I get out there, and I'm going to jump this way, dive this way, and swim around this kelp bed where it's a little more clear. And I jump into the water, and it's like 60.
Oh, yeah.
And it's so cold.
Yeah.
And imagine being the guy with the heart
tight chest.
who all of a sudden I'm like, yep. Oh boy, you know, like, yep. I came so close to turning around.
That's weird. That feeling. I did a polar bear thing one time. It was in a lake.
Yeah.
But I remember that feeling. You just jump in, and it's this weird, like, am I gonna? I can't breathe. It's not like I'm trying to breathe. I just can't, because it feels like my lungs have just seized up, and we're like, nope, we're done, we're out. But yeah, that insane coldness is just crazy.
Yeah.
But yeah.
So I paddle. I keep going though, I kick and I snorkel around that. And I Silas wanted me to take some pictures of fish with his underwater camera that he got for it and everything. So I get a few pictures of fish.
How deep can you see when you're out there?
Well, it was, come to find out, I'm glad I didn't know this before I went in there, but it's an average depth around there of 35 feet.
Right.
Because the boat comes in there.
Right. And what's underneath you?
God knows.
Exactly. I'm out.
But I was in the, but I was mostly in the shallows there. Where?
Well, what's shallow, 9 feet?
Yeah.
Ugh.
Now, look. Let's make
some s'mores.
I've been snorkeling in some beautiful places, like Mo'orea and the Great Barrier Reef.
Was it one of the clear ones where you
could
see? Okay, I can do that, because then I can see. I can see what the hell's, and I can punch the and smack it away from me. But if I can't see and I'm in that murky crap, out. It's terrifying. I'd rather be launched into space and die there.
Anyway, on this island, Santa Cruz Island, we go out there and you have to put all of your trash in a trash bag and bring it with you
off the island.
Off the island, they're very, very strict about this island because the island's pristine, right? Yeah. And they don't want to leave any kind
live
of
there. Do people actually live in there?
No, not anymore. Not anymore. You, at one time they did.
It's basically just a big park.
It is.
Okay.
Now, a long time ago, the Chumash Indians lived there. The Native Americans lived there and existed there for a long, long time. As a matter of fact, people think that the first Europeans landed at Plymouth Rock.
Yeah.
No. 75 years before that is contact out on the Channel Islands. So
with
California
who?
With
Chinese sailors?
Juan Cabrillo. And so that's why you see the name Cabrillo everywhere around Southern California.
Was it Cabrilla?
Not Cambria. Anyway, so the first contact, this is where, you know, the Europeans settled North America. But they found artifacts that go back tens of thousands of years there that, you know, they think that people came down the coast and, you know, we're coming down the coast of North America from Asia and
from Alaska Asia from Alaska.
And they came down and, you know, never stopping, they hit those Channel Islands, and that's where they ended up. Anyway, we're out there and it's amazing. It's a wonderful place. They don't have bears on the island.
Right.
Bears have never gone out there. As a matter of fact, they have no burrowing animals of any sort. They have got no,
birds and bugs.
They've got no gophers. They've got no worms, earthworms. They've got no stuff like, and that's why the archaeology of the islands has been so well preserved, because it hasn't been churned up. But they have little island foxes. Little island foxes.
How did the foxes get there?
They're about the size of cats. And
really?
I guess they swam over or something. But they're out there, and they.
Well, what do they eat?
Your lunch.
There's got to be some burrowing.
They eat mice.
There's got to be something.
Yeah, they eat little field mice.
Right.
And they got up on our fucking table and tried to steal our lunch while we were sitting there.
Could you pet them?
You best not.
They're not
domesticated. But I was like trying
to eat my friggin' burger.
I was trying to take down our tent, and somebody walks by and says, "Hey, there's a fox in your bag over there." I'm like, "What? Oh shit! Go over there. There's a fox trying to unzip my backpack and get in it." they're everywhere, and they're sneaky. There's a reason they're named fox. And so anyway, they're really cute and fun, and so we stay out there and we go out for a hike and see one of the most amazing views in California. They call the Channel Islands the Galapagos Islands of the North, because there are like 120 species that only exist there, that exist nowhere else in the world.
Okay.
And it's really, really cool. But we got a documentary about the place that's has a foreword by Joe Walsh.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And Joe Walsh is like the president or the chairman of the Santa Cruz Island Conservatory or whatever. And he makes this comment. He's interviewed at the beginning. He's like, I'm kind of nervous about talking about it, be honest, because if you love this island, for God's sake, don't come to it. And but it's just incredible history around this place. And around all of the Channel Islands, just saw this documentary, this DVD that Silas wanted to get. I love that my kid goes to the gift shop as we get off the boat, you know, in Ventura, and he wants to get something out of the gift shop, and it's a documentary.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah, my kid's buying a pack of gum and a ball or something, chewing gum, put in his hair. Your kid wants an educational DVD. My kid's over there playing with some tin foil on the ground. He's playing with an old Wendy's wrapper.
By the way, what do you think of this beer?
I think it's pretty good.
It's not bad.
I like it. It's pretty smooth, too.
It's nice, yeah.
So it sounds like you had a good, other than the $270 bucks and the kelp.
We had an amazing time, and I think we'd like to go back. Stay for a couple of days, and you know that kind of.
Yeah, I've been kind of passing.
I could use my AARP discount.
Well, you know, I've been trying to get Cindy to go camping, and she's just.
That's the thing,
yeah,
Laura
just won't be.
Laura has said, "I'm not a camper. I'm not a camper. I'm not a camper." And then this time, she's like, "Okay, going out to the Channel Islands. I wanted to do this. I wanted to force myself outside my comfort zone and do this." We got home that night. She turns to me as we're sitting in bed, and she said, "I'm a camper. I really had fun." Because her idea of camping was glamping, you know?
Right.
Like, she'll go camping as long as we can stay in a 4-star hotel right. that night and have a shower.
No, that's not camping.
Now, she's into it. She's really into it. Well, really rose to the challenge.
What I've been thinking about doing is renting an RV and going to the Grand Canyon for like 4 or 5 days and just kind of breaking. Because it would be Owen's kind of first time out, too. And I was like, why don't we just do like kind of the best of both worlds? To still be able to have the luxuries of being inside and, you know, have a bed and our own little small moving apartment, but, you know, able to go and hike around the Grand Canyon.
Right. Take a tip from Skeeter.
Yeah.
From the Thompson family.
Yeah, don't.
And get the insurance.
I was just thinking about that. I was literally, because there's a place where I work at right beside where I work is a one of those rental places. And they have, I was thinking about it. I was like on their website, and all that I thought was about, he just demolished that air
That's
conditioner.
So right off the
bat, he ripped the air conditioner off the top of the vehicle. He wasn't even out of the driveway yet.
It's so great. Can't you see every bit of it?
Oh, and then it literally sounds like a National Lampoon's movie.
It does.
It does, right? Like I can picture.
Put that in a movie, people would think you were going too far.
Like, I can picture them sleeping in it that night and like hearing the bugs because there's a giant hole in the roof. Didn't they break the door too?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He thought he was going to go beneath a tree.
But we're talking about Mark Thompson and when he rented
the RV story.
Yes.
And he peels back the front of the thing, shears off one of the side view mirrors,
rips the air conditioner off the top in his driveway.
Yeah.
And when he brought it home,
it's just
the very first thing he
it's
did.
It's just great.
Was ripped off the $1,500 air conditioner, the thing that's going to keep you cool all weekend. And now there's a giant hole in the roof of where you're sleeping, and you're not even out of your driveway.
It's
awesome.
So good.
Amazing.
It's so good. I mean, it's so satisfying.
Yeah. You know, that's probably online somewhere. Look it up on YouTube, because remember they had an animator do that. So maybe look on YouTube.
Search Mark Thompson. We don't want to give away the end of it.
Yeah.
The RV story, Mark in the morning.
Yep.
The RV story.
Yep.
Oh,
good
God.
Stuff.
Oh, God. I miss him so much.
Yeah, we all do.
Anyway, so we loved it, and now Laura is a camper, wants to do it. By the way, I saw. Are you a camper?
Oh, I've always camped. I used to camp in the middle of winter. We'd go out in the middle of winter and just because that was the only place you could take booze away from your parents. So we'd be like, all right, let's everybody grab some jerky and a case of beer, and we'll meet out in the woods. Yeah, we camp all the time.
Can I show you what I want to buy for
that was my question. How much did you think you spent on gear?
Not that much.
Okay.
I mean,
what are the essentials? What do you think are the essentials? Tent, sleeping bags,
yeah,
air mattress.
I bought a tarp to go under for the right footprint of the thing, and so I spent I guess $20 on that. I bought some propane.
Those little pound
things.
So you take it like a small bocce?
No.
Okay.
I bought it was a screw-on one burner stove that just goes on the top of that.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
So you guys didn't build fire, did you?
You can't have any open flame.
Right. That sucks,
though. Yeah. And so did that. And but you know what I want to do for the next time?
What?
And this is something I couldn't take over to Santa Cruz, for example, because it's just too heavy. But look at this.
I was just about to say they've got really cool camping grill, like burners.
Yeah.
You know that little jug of propane you're talking about? They have like a two burner thing.
This is a griddle.
Yeah.
That works on the liquid propane on those tanks, and you can turn it up and down there.
The problem though, how heavy is that? And you want to lug it around.
But look, number one, you get to take the top and you can turn it over and it, you know, compacts there. Right. This is called the Blackstone. Oh God, it's on sale too.
Wait for Amazon Day.
Blackstone 17-inch tabletop griddle. And look how it does an H-shaped underneath there.
That's pretty cool.
And how much does it weigh?
I'm going to take guess it weighs 28 pounds.
It's something like that. So you wouldn't want to take this. Here we go.
But I have a buddy that he does a ton of
21.5 pounds. But if that something like that, oh my God, I can make eggs and bacon
and everything on there at the same time. They go camping like every other weekend, right? And so he's got all the gear, you know what I mean? It's like every month he's going to buy one new awesome piece. So after a while, he just has every awesome thing in the world. Right. Nobody needs to bring anything because he has it all. But he has that two burner grit or stove, right, by Coleman that hooks up to that little propane thing. Uh-huh. Well, they also sell, it's like a system. They have things that you can buy that go over top of the burner that turns into like a coffee maker, so you don't have to make like crappy instant coffee.
I bought a percolator, a stainless steel percolator. Those are good. Oh, it was great.
Wait, are we talking a French press?
No, it was a percolator.
What's that?
It's oh my God, you don't remember what a percolator is?
Like a teapot?
It's a percolator is a coffee pot.
It's the thing that whistles, right?
No.
Oh, okay.
Stainless steel, and inside there's a basket on a post, and at the bottom of it there's a stand, and the water gets so hot underneath that thing, and there's a straw, a steel straw, and the water gets so hot it gets shot up.
Yeah,
after a while
you can see it. And then there's like a little glass thing on top.
There's a glass thing on top, and you see the coffee, the water.
Well, how's it making the coffee?
Well, once it goes up to the top there, then it goes into the basket and gets the grounds wet, and then that drips down into the coffee, and the more it goes, the more it percolates, and you can watch it go from clear in that little glass ball
to
dark brown, yeah, and then you know your coffee's ready.
Is it?
And it's great, and you can use it at home. A lot of people
that was my next
question. It's like a French press.
Does it? Do you think it tastes better?
It's amazing.
Really?
It's like a French press.
All right.
And
French presses are cheap. You can buy those.
Sure.
At Bed Bath & Beyond.
But you can't put those on an open flame.
No, but you can boil the hot water and then dump it in there.
Yeah, you could. At any rate, so got that. I want to get one of these griddles because I think that'd be fantastic to have one of those. And
there's a whole bunch of cool just gadgetry out there for camping.
Oh, yeah.
That you might look at and be like, this is just dumb something I don't need, until you're out camping and you're like, God, I wish I had that thing right now. So I'd love to just have that stuff. So I would be into like deciding Friday afternoon, like, you know what, F it. Call Cindy, hey, pick up Owen early. We're gonna meet back at the place. We're going up to Angeles Forest. Get there, get there at 10 o'clock. Set up a tent and spend the weekend up there. But I don't know. I think I got some convincing to do. But you know what else?
Do yourself a favor.
What?
First time, get everything together so you're not inconvenienced. Uh-huh. Like there were a couple of things we forgot. I forgot a corkscrew. Little things like that.
Yeah.
Really think it through.
Swiss
make
Army
yourself,
knife.
Make yourself a list and take everything right. But go for one night. Go somewhere close.
Oh, totally.
And that way,
I'm I can do it. I know I can do it. It's more her and him.
Because if you get out, look, if you get out, like that night when we got back, they showed a little film at the Rangers station down there about the restoration of the Island Fox, you know, and it was, we go out there and they show this film and there, you know, 50 people out there watching it. And it was like, it was a nature lesson, you know, a conservancy lesson. Right. And we all walk back to the tent, you know, at 9 o'clock at night, and we stop and we look up and we see the Big Dipper and all of the stars out. And it, you know, it was so amazing and fun. If you get them to see that, get them out of the city and get them to see some of the wonderful things of it.
Excuse me.
Bless you. Then they'll get hooked. I think.
You know when the last time I went camping? You know what I went camping. What we did?
No.
We were hunting Bigfoot. Okay. I ever tell you that?
No. How long ago was this?
Six, right before Ellen was born, so maybe 7 years ago.
You and who?
A friend who is in like the Bigfoot Society said that.
Oh my God, for real?
Yeah, for real. No, I went with like two guys that one guy does Bigfoot tours.
Wait, save this for another. This has to be. All right, tell us.
We just went. There was he was monitoring all the websites, and there was a report that up in the, like the Angeles Forest of one of them. And you know where there's the bomber that crashed up there? There's still like a bomber up in the woods. That they it's so high up in there that it crashed that they can never get it down, and you can still see it from the road sometimes.
Well, plenty of them.
Yeah, and because
World War II.
Yeah, exactly. And we went, and so we went up into the woods with us three, right? And I'm just sitting there like, this is ridiculous. And we drove up to a certain spot and turned off all the lights and waited like 20 minutes, and then we are like up on top of the mountain, right? And the one guy goes. They just do this for like 20 minutes and they're listening to try to see if they can get it to call back. And I'm just sitting there like, what the hell is going on? And then that was one thing we did, and then we didn't see or hear anything, obviously. And then we went back to camp.
By the way, what you do?
What?
If you ever get a chance to do that again, you send someone ahead.
Yeah.
To be a couple hundred yards away.
Hello. Yes. And there was like all these, like they were, like it wasn't a joke. It was a real deal. Like, because we're sitting around the campfire when we went back, and then I'm like, I'm sitting there and they're doing something over there, and I'm like, I think I saw something over there, and I pointed at, and they're like, no, 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 don't do that. And I'm like, what? And they're like, if you think you see something, you just shout out like 1 o'clock or 3 o'clock. You don't point, because if you point, then it'll see you pointing at it. So, and I go, okay, 3 o'clock. Like, you know, and sure enough, that they had the
night vision.
They put their night vision on, and sure enough, there was a deer, and I'd heard it walk behind me. And it came around, and then it came up to our picnic table and it started eating our hot dog buns. And I'm just sitting there, I'm like, what the hell? And then another thing they do.
Did it go?
The other thing they do is they take like a baseball bat and they start beating trees with it. Like big trees.
What does that do?
It's like they believe it's kind of like a call, like that's what Sasquatches do to call their Sasquatches. They like smack trees. I'm telling you.
Believe the Sasquatch exists.
Oh, there's no doubt that it exists. They just can't get it on film yet. And they're like, you wouldn't believe the stuff I've seen. I'm like, I saw a deer. Hey, hot dog bun. That was pretty cool.
I saw more wildlife than you did.
But yeah, we went Sasquatch hunting. I got drunk.
Did everybody take alcohol?
Yeah, I think that, yeah. Yeah. For the end of the night, you know what I mean? It wasn't like, but we got up there and then we went and did our call.
It's after you put all your equipment away. That's when Sasquatch comes down, kills everyone, and drinks the beer.
He's sitting on a chair at the fire, drinking a beer. Deer's over there eating our hot dog buns. I'm sleeping in the back of my truck. I'm like, 3 o'clock! 3 o'clock!
That's great.
Yep. Sasquatch hunter. I'm official Sasquatch hunter. Bing. Josh Fleer's Sasquatch Hunter.
I need that bell. It's on order.
It'll
be here in 2 days.
Nice. Yeah. So next episode, we'll be able to use the bell.
Oh, yeah. God help us.
Cool.
I love it.
All right.
Josh, good to see you. Josh, how can people get a hold of you?
Email me at joshuajfleer@gmail.com. I've been getting good emails, too.
Have you? Yeah. Why haven't we gone through any? Next time, we're going to do it.
Okay, yeah.
And any ideas for topics of discussion, things that you want to filter through the sieve of Josh Fligger's mind.
Or things that you want to hear us discuss.
And I can get a hold of if you want to tweet me, Andy_Chanley.
Are you still doing Instagram?
I am. It's Andy Chanley on Instagram. And let's see, Larry Morgan is Larry_Morgan on Twitter. And LA Times Farmer for Sam Farmer.
Can you do me a huge favor?
What?
Can you take one of those Instagram selfies with you and a cute doggy nose and then like give yourself like hearts for eyes?
I've never done that.
Can you do that? Like all the teenage girls are doing.
Yeah.
They give themselves cute little puppy
duck
noses.
Lips.
Yes. Yes. Or stick their tongue out. Ooh.
Yeah. I could try. Lips.
All right. Do that.
All right.
Thank you.
When the people that you know don't like you and your treasured friendships end, tune into this podcast. We're your artificial friends.